This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Let's take a confession. One to go. As I sit to listen to the word of God today, a door of utterance has been opened unto me, and I hear the voice of God clearly speaking to me. This is the way to go, walk ye in it. I listen under the influence of the Spirit of God, and I'm not distracted by anything or anyone. The word of God is food to my spirit. I am strengthened by it this morning. It is wine to my heart, creating joy within me. It is oil to my face, causing my life to shine, giving me victory in everything that I do. As my eyes make contact with the scriptures used in this message, the Spirit of God opens new things to me. He also brings to my remembrance things Jesus once showed me. I come to understand God's system on the earth, and I receive instruction, encouragement, correction, and the enablement to live out God's will. Amen. All right, so still on the theme of warfare, I want to just look at briefly this morning a certain aspect of this. Now, if we go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then the next verse says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, it uses a particular Greek word there to describe sons. In other words, that word sons is a different Greek word from the word that, let's say, if let's just go down Romans 8, 20. Put Romans 8, 20. Let me just show this here. Sorry, okay, verse 19. Okay, 17, sorry. Now, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That word children is different from the word sons. So when it says as many as are led by the Spirit, so when it says an heir, as long as he is a child, doesn't differ from a servant. That child is that same word that yours children. But when it says they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons, he doesn't use children of God. He will still get to it. Sons there is talking about a level of maturity. So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, that's the hallmark of people that are mature, is that they are led by the Spirit of God in everything that they do. And then he goes on and says in verse 15, he goes on and says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now, that word adoption there is not adoption, as we'll say adoption in the English term. Right, the way the English word is. It was actually a ceremony where, in a family, you come out and public bring out a child and say, this one is now a son. Now, he has matured to the point, the father, where he can represent this family and is a son. Now, some others were still regarded as children, and that's what we'll see in Hebrews chapter 12 was referring to. That is, your fathers corrected you. The father will take the child through some corrective process there and make adjustment to certain things in the life of the child, and then the child attains to a place of sonship. And then you have a ceremony that is called adoption, where the son also now cries out, Abba, Father. It's what God did for Jesus. The Jews understood it when he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That is, he said that, right, at the point where he was being baptized, he has come to the point of sonship, and he says you can hear him. So he's referring to something here, maturity level there in our Christian work. But what I want us to see is this. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And the reverse of that is that those who are children, verse 15, are bound by fear. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, you'll find out the child of God there at that level, one of the major characteristics we say is that they are fearful. One of the major characteristics about the son is boldness and being fearless. And they said the reason why, and that's why they are led, they can be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God will lead you into things, into places there where you want to receive the inheritance, that if you are a fearful person, you won't go into those endeavors. You won't even come close, all right, to those things. So the major issue here, and I've thought about this very well, one of the major distinct factors between very successful people in life, and it's not their intellect, is their courage and boldness. You'll see a person who is very smart, but scared about doing major things. That is, you say, well, let's do this, we'll cause this, I can't come and die. And then they stay within that confinement there. But you find people that may not be as intelligent as them, but they go for bold things. And well, I say, how do you sleep at night engaging in this kind of thing? They are bold, they are audacious in what they want to do. They can make those decisions there. And it's a hallmark there of sonship, which means they take up things. And you say, I will do that, leave it. Because they understand the principle there. Right? So long as the Spirit of God is leading them, they know we are going into this. And I want to show something this morning. That's why Jesus, when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, after that ceremony of adoption, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the first place he led him to was the wilderness. Many people won't go near the wilderness. If the Holy Ghost wants to lead them into the wilderness, they'll say they're not going. All right? They are all about soft life. Anything that is not soft, comfortable, they are not doing. All right? They are taking them into a place where nothing is predictable. We're not there. Bible tells us he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. He entered into it. Led there. He was led by the Spirit there. And we said one thing about eagles there that soar is that they are bold. The contrary wind begins to blow. All other birds, they just say, look, we can't try this. That's in Pastor Engelchen's, they said, they look at the sun, they enter the thing, and they look at it. And people on the outside will say, you are counted as a sheep for slaughter. You are going to die in this thing that you are doing. And it said, it is through these things we come out as more than conquerors. That they look into the thing there and say to themselves, right, we are going into this thing, we are going audacious, and they enter into it. And they know the timing there, which means that once the contrary wind begins to blow, they know the time is right there to enter into something. I think Pastor Nkechi said it. She said, every faith endeavor is counterintuitive. God is telling you to do something that if you look at things on the natural there, it doesn't make sense. I think Pastor, I know Josiah's pastor was saying this about, and I saw it. And he started and was just talking. I said, why is this man going to exercise? That's the key to this thing here. And I'll show it. In Exodus chapter 24, he said, God called Moses, the nation of Israel, to come up to the mountain. When those people, Israelites, heard the sound of thunder, they said they are not going home. They told Moses, you can go up by yourself. When you have gotten the revelation, we'll be down here. Come and tell us what is here. God manifested himself as fire. Moses entered into the thing. I'm saying that out of fear, people can't enter the fire there. They'll look at it. This is where the distinction comes. They can talk about this and talk about that. But when it's time to enter, Daniel and his friends, who enter fire? That's where the distinction is. When they said, we said, throw us into the flames. We enter. Now, most people will bow rather than get burnt. They'll say, we're using wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, they will enter fully into, you know, I'm telling you, I grew up in an academic town, in Ibadan. And when I got to Lagos, and if I've said this several times, a friend of mine was saying this to me. One day she said, and I said, you don't understand. She said, look, my friend, you know, it's, and a lot of people that grew up, maybe people don't, a lot of them are in top management in corporations there, all right, top management in corporations in Lagos. But ownership is far. All right? Because an owner, So one day, one of my friends, she told me, said, how can this guy be working? When we were in school, they weren't close to him. How can he be working for them? I said, you don't understand. It is one of the traits of people that grew up in Ibadan, because there wasn't real entrepreneurship, which means you don't see people. Everybody, you know where they were doing, your neighbors, you know, this one was working here, this one was working here, this one was, I mean, the top brilliant people, this one was working. I mean, in my house, if you look across the house, the first Chief Justice of Nigeria was across the house. On the left, the person was there. On the other, first famous senior advocate of Nigeria was there. If you go down there, the professor of economics that was advising Babangida was there. You go to this, you just see the whole street was full of professors, neurosurgeons, all of that. But it's not ownership. Your salary is stipulated. Do you get what I'm saying here? You are not paying for anybody's salary. You are working. You are using your intelligence. They are rewarding you. Are you following here? But when we came to Lagos, we started seeing people. So everybody wake up. You go to church. You have breakfast together. You can come for lunch. Everything is organized. Do you know what I'm saying here? Someone came to look for my father once. He said, where's your father? I need to see him. I said, if you stand on this spot, he will drive him right now. He said, how do you know? I said, he will drive him. My father drove him. He said, your son, he told me to stand like this, that he drive, because he knew the time they were coming back. There's no night between. Do you get what I'm saying? Everything is predictable. But you see, when you grow up in that kind of environment, then someone says, we are resigned, we want to go and start. Where, so how will you eat? How will you drink? You just go like that? So the people that are bold and courageous, that will tell you that, we took 200 million facility to, and we risked. That's risked everything. That if that thing doesn't work, you and your family, that's generation after it may pay, and you enter into it. So if you look at Exodus chapter 24 here, and they found a secret, they know that you don't have real communion until you enter that thing. Outside of it is what people tell you about God. Do you get what I'm saying? Moses entered the fire to hear God. The people that didn't enter the fire stood at the base. What they told them is what they heard. That it says, they that know their God shall be strong, as they be courageous and do exploits. So Exodus 24:12 here, it says this. The Lord said to Moses, come up to the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stones and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up to and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of the Lord. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here until we come again unto you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man will have matters to do, let him come unto them. You know, I was just thinking about this. I had a friend this morning. When I went on television, there was a lot of Christians who were saying all kinds of things about television ministry because of there was a certain individual that was on television, and there was okay. So I said I was going on. I went on television. I had a friend. He called me. He said, this television thing. So he said, hey, how is it? So he went to ask a very top minister in this country, because they believe that, you have gatekeepers and he will preach it. And that if you are going into any city, you have to go and meet the gatekeepers to ask them. I mean, I don't believe that one, that you have to ask gatekeeper inside the city what God assigned you to do. Because the gatekeeper can talk you out of it and shut the gates, which is what happened to him. He said, look, you don't allow this television thing to contaminate your ministry. Just stay out of it. let it not be contact. I had called the people in the television station. I told them I'd got everything. Said, don't let them. So he told me, said, I've been told that he may contaminate the ministry and all of that. The person that they were talking about, when we started having television program, 6:30, he was, we would do 6:30. He was at 7. That's after we finish, he starts. Then we do 3 o'clock. After we finish, it does 3:30. Someone called me and said, wait, what are you talking about? Does darkness drive light or light drives darkness? I entered into the thing and exploded. Years later, I now came to call me, hey, that television thing, the season has gone. If you want to stay, I just want to be fresh and not contaminated. Nobody should say anything about me. The Bible says Jesus had a reputational damage when he went to the cross. You'll be nice. Everybody just like you. You'll be nice. But you'll be prophetic. Are you following me? You'll be good. That's how I say, good Christian. But there'll be no power. It will be a form of godliness. So let's go ahead. Exodus 24, verse 14. So it goes in. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered 6 days, and the seventh day called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17. And the Bible says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. That's how it was like. On the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. Which means this thing is going to devour us. That's how it was in the eyes. Do you get what I say? But that's where the glory is. Alright? Well, I mean, I say, oh, fear, fear, fear. They understand that that's where the glory is. And they enter. And the next, the last verse there, I want to read. And it says, and Moses went into the cloud there and got him on the mount of Moses there, and he was there 40 days. And that's where he heard the voice of God. That's where God wrote the laws there upon his own heart there. So it's the fear of death. The fear, alright, of that's what keeps people in bondage. That's why the Bible says Jesus himself, for as much as children were partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Alright? Who had all their lifetime, verse 15, kept the children of Israel in bondage through that. So that fear is what keeps a person. So when the Spirit of God even signals to an individual, you know, that go into this particular thing there, the fear there of it, it's what keeps people away from doing those things. And so how do we get into this, right? How do we, and it's a short message today because of meeting tonight, right? So how do you get into this particular place and enter into it without fear? You understand? That you say to others on the outside, it's a casting down. But to you, it is a what? Lifting up. That eagles, they mount up there, which is the lifting up there. Mount up with wings as eagles there. What makes them mount up? To other people is what is bringing a casting down. So the approach, all right, is very, very, very simple. But something happens, and this is what I want to explain here. There are two dynamics in that thing. And this is what you've got to understand. Once you enter into it, God is doing two things. The first thing he's doing is that he's purging you of all impurities, infirmities, purging you. And he is preparing you for what he is about to do next in your own life. Which means you understand that I'm going to go through the cross because of the glory that is set before me. That is, this circumstance, this thing that is blowing here has a twofold work. It is going to change me on the inside. Through it, God will do that. And then at the same time, it's going to bring me into it. So let's go on. So it says in Romans 8, and let's go to verse 16. So it talks about this. It says, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. That's children now. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs. So there's an inheritance. But as long as a child remains a child, a son there remains a child, he won't be different from a servant there. So it says the Spirit bears with us the Spirit that we are children. And as if children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that's the point, that we may be glorified together. So first there is the sufferings, and then after that, there is the glorification that occurs. The next verse. And then it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 20 says, for the earnest expectation, you can see he's switching back now to sons, expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20. He now says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Now, this point I've got. Satan didn't subject it in any hope. It's God that subjects a person or creature to certain things in the hope of doing certain things. Now, without that hope there, the experience of you being subjected to certain things will destroy you. In other words, Jesus, for the joy that was ahead of him, could endure the cross. Your ability to endure the cross is because of the expectation that you have. So while you are experiencing the cross, you are rejoicing firmly in the hope that is set before you. And you understand that this is a necessary thing that must happen to you, because if it doesn't happen to you, there are certain things that are in you that when you get to that place and that hope, those things are going to destroy and take away your joy, and you might be, and you end up worse off than even not entering in those things at all. So you understand the work of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, we have had our fathers in the flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? This is where true worship is. It is like, it's more than a song. It has been in subjection, which means you understand. It says we gave them reverence. Why shouldn't we give reverence? Which means I'm going through things for the chastisement. Let's go back up there. He says the chastisement of God is grievous. There, that's a painful thing. It's not joyous. Go to Hebrews 12:5. It says it's grievous, but it's not joyous. Have you forgotten the exhortation, my son? Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now he says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. But for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all that come to that place of sonship are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Which means, the word bastard there doesn't mean that you are not child of the Father, but you can be considered as one that will receive the inheritance, because you haven't gone through the training. So there is a point in your life, and that's where true worship comes to God. You understand that God's hand, all right, right is upon you. And you understand that they are inviting other people to things, and they are not inviting you, because God wants to purify you of certain things. Doors are opening up for other people. Souls' doors are not opening up for you. There is something that God wants to purge. He says, look, when we complete this process, you will operate at a level that is far more than these other people around you. But my hand is upon you at this particular season. And it will be a season, if you try to get yourself out of that by yourself, it will be one of continuous disappointment. If somebody comes and prophesies to you by this time, you say, don't waste your time. God's hand. Are you for it? It's upon you. This is where Christian character goes. Everybody just feels that we come to church. Hey, if I want something from God, I just get it when God wants to give me, without any training, without any development, without anything there. And the biggest problem that we have inside, I'm telling you, inside the church today, is that we have, look, people that are circumcised in the spirit and people that are uncircumcised are mixed together. And we are considering credibility of Christian faith as to the length of time you are around Christians by association and not by conviction. So many people dwell by association there, not by what conviction there. Which means if it's by conviction there, you understand? And look, we have meetings here. People send me things, all kinds of things. It's by conviction that I have ministers that are friends. That a minister came to meet me during Warbeck after I come and said, "Did I offend you? If I offended you, tell me." In other words, you didn't invite me to this place. That naturally puts you under some form of pressure the next time. Because if you don't invite him, he says, "Hey, you've offended me." But inviting to speak is not friendship. That's just what I say. It's not friendship. It's not even popularity. It's not. It's not that, okay, we want to have a meeting, let's look at who is popular and then invite people that are popular. It's not. It's the person God speaks to you to invite. When I listened to Apostle Luega and I said in 90 seconds, I didn't know the size of his ministry. I just heard what he was saying here. I said, "This is the child." It's after I now realized, you have all these things around you. I called, I didn't know. I was a video monitor. And the person that sent me, because I know her, from school, and she's in England, and I knew that she won't send me that kind of thing, all right, that this person, I said, "Pastor, have you heard this guy?" And I did this and said, this is it. Kenneth Copeland said he was with his wife. They woke up one morning and just heard Bill Winston on television. He said, "That's one of us. That's one of us. Who is he? That's one of us. That's one of us." He said, "Let's go and remember." And he looked to go and find him. It was then that when he got there, he was telling Kenneth Copeland that the testimony I was giving about us getting the mall, that I said we sold a seed, was saying they sold a seed of $400,000. It was your ministry I sold it. He said, "Yeah." You understand what I'm saying? That's, look, I have a friend. He invited me for a meeting. I told him, "Don't call me. It is not right. Go and call so and so. You need that kind of thing." He said, "I understand what you're saying." Do you get what I'm saying here? There's no point in your face on the poster. Your heart knows that. This is Christianity. I told him, I said, "Come, okay, go and call Susan so here. Because if you call me, it will look like we are forming something. Don't do it. Go and call Susan. Let him preach for you." He said, "Thank you very much. I didn't see it." Right? So it's a question of conviction. And that thing comes through chastisement, where you know that the seasons don't favor me on the outside now, because God is doing a work inside me. And there's a training that he's doing that will bring about growth there. Right? And if you allow him to complete that training there, he says, you see this, "The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the what? Glory that shall be revealed in us." But people don't engage in that suffering. That's what Paul was saying. He said, "I might know him through the fellowship of his what? Sufferings." So you are telling me that if a child gets everything the child gets, which sometimes what is happening now, where children get extremely rude, and the problem is that the parents are intimidated by the children. They want the children to be their friends. So anything the child wants, they give the child. So the child is without, all right, chastisement. You know, someone called me, told me to come and help them to do something. At that place, "Can you help me? You know this person in this particular place. Can you please help me to talk to them to do this?" So I said, "Okay. How much is what they charged you?" The person told me the price. I said, "Okay. You don't have that amount?" I said, "No. If you cross the road, there is another coming there. The church have crossed that road. I'm going to meet them. He said, How can you say this to me? I knew you would not. I said, cross. You see that road? Cross it. She said, she's crossing the road. So I helped her to do something recently. She entered into the place. So let's say that they put sweets down for guests too. You know, you have guests, eh? You are not a guest too. She just went there and started packing all the things. Depends, they had to say that, why are you taking, we'll have this for your guests. Well, so my wife was supporting. I said, when I told you that, I told her to cross, I knew what I'm saying. That some people are just spoiled. That you understand what I'm saying? So they don't, and those things, when they do it, people may sit and not talk. She, me, I'm telling you, because I have boldness to go and cross the road. Some of that person just say, hey, okay, I'm reposting you. But they will make up their mind about you. And those things come from childhood, which means that half of time, maybe they don't. So people just feel that anything. A child says, I want sweet. You give sweet ice cream. I want ice cream. You give it. Can that child grow up to become without discipline? So why do you think God, you now come and meet God and say, God, I'll just be praising you. When I praise you, whatever I want. So a child comes to meet the parents. You know, you're lovely. You're wonderful. You are this. You know, your eyes are like radiant. Your clothes. They say, come on, for one night, are you coming to psych? That's what God is saying. Say, you want to psych me? I might sit down in that place. Undergo your training. Are you from here? You say, I will leave the church. It's like a child packing. I'm leaving the house. They should open the door. Be going. Where am I? You'll turn back. I'm going. I'm leaving the place. It's all manipulation. You get what I'm saying? And so when you undergo that, when you do it to other people, you're not doing it in a vindictive way. You are not doing it out of wickedness. Do you get what I'm saying here? You are doing it because you know that this is the right path for this particular person. So let's go on then so I can close here. All right, Romans 8. Let's continue. So there's a... All right, made subjection... creature, for the whole of creature waited for the manifestation of sons of God. Put it up. Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but... So there's that hope. So understand that there's something coming. I'm not just being subjected, but there's something coming. There's something coming. That's a something coming. So he says this. Because the creature shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Then he says, for we know that the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth together until now. Not only they, but we also that have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption to know the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. So you must have that hope while you're going through that. And then we are saved by that hope. So we are rejoicing in that hope. We are enjoying it. All right? Nothing anybody does, you know, if we go somewhere and somebody says, we are sorry, you're on a line and you're undergoing chastisement and they count the people. Let's assume you're in a fuel station and they come. They say, this is where we're going to stop. After this, you're not selling fuel again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you're number 11. Enter. They shut the gate. You say, Father, thank you. They say, what you're doing? Ah, God, you came here again. You followed me to this place. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's not a question of saying, you useless man. You useless. You understand this? You see, because when you get to that particular place, you will meet with challenges that you have to become. And he's training you for that. And the day when that training is complete, when he opens the door, you will cry at what he will bring. You will shed tears at what he will bring. Are you following what I'm saying here? But you see, people don't, if I want something, as a Christian, I must get it. Anytime I want it, I will just get it when I want it. And they are not led by the... You understand this? And people teach that because we say, "Buddy," and then what happens is, you know, it's like you are doing what do they call this? What was that thing they did a long time ago? That money something. Yeah. You know, you can do MMM. People that did particular way, when just say, "Leave it, I'm tired of Christianity," a new set will come. You sell the same goods to them. And you continue doing it. So look, so he says likewise, so go on, he says, "We are saved by hope." So you are rejoicing in that hope. You know something's coming out of this. "For what a man seeth, why does he hope for? Yet hope for. But if we hope for that which we see not, then with patience we do what? We wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought." That means in that situation, there you don't know what to pray for as you ought. There are things, you know, you are in that birthplace now, that you want to birth something now. All right? "Likewise, Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as well. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And then he says, "And we know all things work together for good." So as the intercession is going on, you are praying, all right, in the Spirit, and you are going into intense prayer there. You are rejoicing. You worship God in the process. After some time, he says, all things now begin to work. The lines begin to fall into pleasant places there. Right? Everything begins to work. The lines are falling onto you in pleasant places. But you went through that. And the issue is that many Christians, well, you know, you are worshiping God during that particular time. And you're worshiping him. You understand the principle. You are praising him. So when people go into those things, they enter into it with a place of stillness. They worship God in the midst of things that other people, right, because they know it's a place of communion. They enter into it and they are communing with God there. That communion involves the worship of God there and rejoicing in the hope that is set before you. Rejoicing about the massive things that are going to happen within your life and worshiping him, knowing that he is, right, doing certain things. And that's how you get to the point, right, of maturity, where you mature, where you can handle things, you can manage the inheritance of God right upon the earth. That you manage it there upon the earth. Look, we are doing this. I won't call the name of a person. If I tell you to call two men of God in this country, you call their names, just two. I said, "No," they said, they called me and said, "They used to call you Bridge, the link." He said, "Now you are the real Bridge." He said, "You went to bring people from." Said, I'm telling you, call to men of God. You brought people from bodies, Reverend Men. You brought them to a meeting with all these people. He said, inside the meeting, and everything is peaceful and all of that. You understand what I'm saying? He said, when Bishop Wally was saying, "PFM, come, give us 25%. What he was telling was that this thing you are doing is what we are trying to do that we can't do. Come and do this. But when they told me, I went to pray, and God gave me a scripture that forbade me from doing what they are telling me to do, because it's at the expense of covenant nation, I will do it. That's why when he said 25%, I said, I'm not doing it. 5 gun. Advisory role, I will do. Consultant, I will do. But you go and do stakeholder. Because 25 will become 30. 30 will become 60. He knows I respect him. But he also knows that respect doesn't mean it will. Do you get what I'm saying? But some people think that respect means that anything they say, you just do. And they feel that if you don't do what they say, then you must be disrespectful about it. Are you useless? You don't have to now. Are you following what I'm saying here? I say, "Sir, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. You are not moving, no." You understand? You are not moving an inch. That this is what we do here. This is what you do. Because you are led by the Spirit of God into everything. Because if you are not led, Satan will come and dangle carrots. It's when you bite it like it should taste nice at the beginning. When You know, it will be like a capsule that the thing inside is bitter. You know, and they give it to you. Then you to go and bite. Then you know that, chai. And by that, it's too late. It has entered your mouth. You know, that perfect you are doing, you cause fight. You know what I'm saying? In my life, I can't get that. Your mouth is running everywhere. Right? So it takes, but you see, you can't have that kind of wisdom without being panel beaten by God. You know, the panel beats you. Where God, wham, from this side. Wham, from that side. I told you, you know, God, we are with you in this matter. We know the reward is greater than the sufferings. But we are not fighting the sufferings. Whatever you have to remove in us, remove. Alright? And many times, it's not even, you see, that's what Job came to understand. It wasn't anything he was doing wrong. It was self. Job lay before God, said, I abhor myself. It is that self-centeredness. That thing that if you'll be saying, I, and as you are giving the testimony, and I, then at the end, we thank God. But all these testimonies, and I, and you say, you know, when I was in school, I was very smart. But you know, you have already said, so I would, but you are going to testimony of God. I. So God will show that I. The eye that fails, I'm smarter than everybody. They will promote the dullest person over and above you. And they won't hide in doing it. They will tell you, praying blank like this. Good morning, we have to a discussion. The person, so you reply. You look at it. And if you resign from God's training. God is omnipresent. Where you go, he will show up. This time it will even be worse. It will be worse. You just get there. Because God wants you. So he'll meet with you there again until you realize this is nothing else but the finger. Go and read Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar talked about the greatness of God. Put it there. Let me just read it. It was Nebuchadnezzar's letter to the world. It wasn't Daniel that wrote Daniel 4. It was Nebuchadnezzar. You see, and Daniel 4, put Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar king, so this is his own epistle. Like Paul said, I, Paul, apostle to the Gentile, the king unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all earth. Peace be multiplied. That's where Paul got it. Nebuchadnezzar said what? Peace be multiplied unto you. Look at what he said next. I thought it good to show you the signs, wonders that the Most High God wrought towards me. See what God did. How great are his signs and mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is generation to generation. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. And then he went to verse 5. I saw a dream that made me afraid, thoughts on my bed. Well, if you read it to the end, he talked about how they drove him from the place for 7 years. He said, until I knew that the Most High reigns in the affairs of men. That was the signs and wonders he was talking about. That's what he calls signs and wonders. No, that's what he calls signs and wonders. The signs, wonders, and mighty miracles he did, that they will drive thee from men. That's the sign and wonder. And your dwelling will be with the beast in the field. And they shall make thee eat grass. He says, an oxen. And they shall rain will beat me until 7 years pass. Till you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And he gives it to, now, to show you how much it was a wonder. This is why you should never in your life open your mouth and say somebody is finished. A king, you think about this, was driven from the throne, was eaten with pigs. So you are driving on Herbert Macaulay, you see the former president of Nigeria sitting down, dustbin to eat. Do you get what I'm saying here? You look at him. He was there in, you say, eating, 1997. You saw him eating. You say, this man is, that's the end. You see, you tell people, be careful in life. Power. You know what I'm saying? This man can never become anything again. His whole family, you didn't know that God said, leave the storm in the ground. Some people you may be seeing today that look like they are finished. If only they would take the lesson God wants to teach them, they will spring back again to life. He came from that place and became king again. He said, is that not a wonder? Do you get what I'm saying? The problem is that people are complaining about the training God is taking them through. They are complaining. How can this be my life? How can't I do that? How useless people. How I want to do that? What are you saying? They complain about it. You know. But if you have gone through God's training, you'll be very humble and meek. You know, when Moses came out of the place, he didn't even know his face was shining. The glory you will be carrying, you won't be conscious of it. Are you following what I'm saying? You won't be conscious. You won't throw your weight around. You'll be very simple. You'll be extremely powerful, extremely influential, but extremely simple. You'll be accessible. All those things will be there. But that person can make one phone call. You know, I'll close the, someone, she used to work in the office. She said, I used to work in this particular hotel. She used to work as a receptionist. She said, Pastor, you won't believe what happened. Says, when we are checking people in, there was this bank that used to do their training there. This was in the 90s. Says, when they are checking them in, you, all those managers, DGM, this, silver shouting, my key, my this, my room, say, making noise. Said, the owner of the bank comes. You'll just sit down. When it's time, so which room do you guys put me in? All right, thank you very much. He said the owner that brought all of them there, the ones that they just came, they're the ones that said, listen to me, this fish, don't you have other meals you eat? What's the problem disturbing people on the fish was not fried to a certain level? Is that the only meal you are going to eat in your life? That you are changing the way a person feels about themselves, reducing their self-esteem on top of fish. Something, if you leave that place, you can buy. I mean, people just do things over it. And you know what happens to those people? People that behave like that, when they see simple people, they think they don't know power. They think they can take advantage of them. That's what people feel. Because when they say simple, this one doesn't know, they start playing games until they carry them in the air. Then they carry like this and sue, vwam. Then your body will calm down. That, why are you seeing this all this while? Then they'll tell you. And you know, people like that, even if you know what they are doing, because they're not people that take correction. And when you sit down with them, tell me what really I did. What they are trying to do is to find out from what you are saying, what they can take to go and build a case that they accuse me of this. So when they say, you didn't do anything, no? What happened? You didn't do anything. Nothing now. What happened to you? No, we are just reshuffling. So we just decided to reshuffle because they know you don't listen. We were just reshuffling and we felt you'd be most appropriate in this particular place. Just remember, if they do anything to you in the kingdom of men, is God that reigns in the kingdom? He didn't say in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of men. And he gives it to whosoever he wills. So if it is not you, he gave somebody else. Humble yourself. Don't say they are doing something else. Listen to me. God looked at that and said, give this person. And if you humble yourself, Lord, thank you. We praise you. You have come. God, you have come again. I see you clearly. You have come. Death walketh in me, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest. Teach me, Lord, what is it now? Let's learn quickly so that the journey is not too what? Too long. Because I bet you, from that point, you'll be seeing his hand. He won't touch you to the point where he will break you. He can do it. But he will touch you to the point where you will know that, you know, God says God resists the power. Somebody is resisting me. You may point to manager, point to this boy. It's God using people. And that's why he says, when your ways please the Lord, even those that opposed you will now be at peace. The same people that were saying, ah, Nebuchadnezzar is finished. They are the same people that gathered. That we knew. We knew. We knew. We knew. When we saw you, somebody was a footballer or something. So they asked his father, so your son, what do you think when he was young? He said, well, you know, I always knew. He said, you knew what? So I always encourage, you encouraged me, what? You didn't encourage me, let's say the truth there. You fought me when I said I was doing this. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and cause it to bring forth massive fruit. In Jesus' name.